You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team, every day.
Man, I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it like when Tatum play a Jalen on the breakaway, or Kyrie when he make a trade. And nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth that after you play it, you gotta repeat. So in depth they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. And well wishes go to Gordon. Listen, after every game is very important, Millie.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rain and Jays. Today, it's me, your boy Jay King from The Athletic, here with Sam Jam Packard, the great, formerly of WEEI. We are sitting in my living room.
Live from Casa del King.
This is, I believe, the first time we've done it in person since...
Since Vegas, baby.
No, Denver.
Oh, Denver. Did do a live podcast. Oh, yeah, I forgot about my West Coast trip where we did a bunch of them. Yeah.
But this is not a cheery tone for this podcast. The Celtics announced today that Kyrie Irving had a bacterial infection in his knee, needed screws removed from his knee, and
it's going to be out 4 to 5 months.
4 to 5 months. That's not great. That'll keep him out throughout the playoffs. That'll keep him out through most of the offseason. It will hurt a lot of what they have going on. It'll hurt their chances of advancing out of the first round. Now they're in real jeopardy of losing the first round, I think. It'll maybe kill their chances of getting out of the second round. You can get Marcus Smart back by then if you advance that far. But then you're going to run into either the Cavaliers or the 76ers. And those teams are really good. So
solid teams.
So just a crushing blow, losing Kyrie Irving.
I don't think it's that crushing. Like, there was the optimism of him coming back in the second round was, like, still a very optimistic recovery timetable for him. He was just scheduled to return to basketball activity. We had no idea, like, what level Kyrie Irving was going to be back. Yes, it does definitely limit, like, how far they can go, but... We already, going into the first round of the playoffs, there was no expectation that Kyrie Irving was going to play. We really had no idea what he was going to be in the second round. I don't think anyone thought, even with Kyrie Irving coming back from knee surgery, that this Celtics team was a championship team. I think it's better that the Celtics figure this out now, and so he will be ready for when the 2018-2019 season starts. That bacteria, man, it'll get you every time. He had the small, minimally invasive surgery to get the wire removed, and I guess, but I don't know how knees work, but was he going to have to get these screws out eventually? Like, is it better to have the surgery earlier than, like, have this flare up or, like, October next year?
From what Danny Ainge said, he said this on the radio, I believe, last Thursday. Danny Ainge said that Kyrie Irving would potentially need more surgery at a later date. Obviously, now we know he meant the screws. He meant the bacterial infection. And
this is the same thing he allegedly threatened the Cavs with before he got traded. He said, I'm going to need surgery. I could just do it now. Eventually, he was going to need those screws to come out of his knee. I don't think you can play a full career with that in. So I think for long term, it's probably better to get this out of the way. For the short term, I just don't – like, a bunch of people were just tweeting – like, Twitter exploded when the Woj bomb dropped, and everyone was just like, oh, man, now the Wizards might lose to the Celtics, like, without Kyrie. And just a bunch of people acting like Kyrie was going to be there for the playoffs. But if you were a Celtics fan, you knew that there was zero expectation of them going into that, of him being available for any first-round series. Like, the wish was that he was going to come back and play in the second round, but even then you had no idea what his health was going to be. So I don't know if it changes, like, that much for this Celtics season. For the long term, for Kyrie's, like, free agency that's coming up after next year, I think it creates some questions because this guy has major knee surgery is with a 4 to 5 month recovery period is pretty intense. But for the short term, I don't think it's like season crushing because I just don't think the expectations were there.
I like your optimistic take.
I'm all about sports optimism, man.
I like your optimistic take. Okay, so yes, the Celtics could have put together a nice playoff run if Kyrie was healthy. I think if Kyrie gets healthy, if Smart gets healthy, if those guys are both full strength.
And they play the Sixers, I'm with you. They're in the Eastern Conference Finals.
But you could have convinced me they had a chance to go to the finals, right? Like a chance. Yeah. I don't know what the chance was.
Kyrie in the playoffs, if he's like 85%, it's still Kyrie in the playoffs. So, yeah, there's a chance.
I still think Toronto would have been favored. LeBron is obviously LeBron. And Philadelphia, all of a sudden, is just killing everybody.
They've won 12 straight, and then Embiid has a broken face, and they keep winning.
So, they could have put together a run. I don't think they're going to win the finals this year. I don't think anyone thinks they're going to win the finals this year. So, really, they were focused. They should have been focused on next year. That's always kind of been the case since Hayward went down. That's always kind of been the case since before Hayward went down. This was never supposed to be the Celtics' year. For a little while, you could have convinced yourself that they could fast forward the process, right?
For about 4 minutes in Cleveland.
When Jason Tatum was fantastic, and when Jaylen Brown was fantastic, but they had the 16-game winning streak after the Hayward injury. They had the number one defense for a long time. They've been at or near the top of the Eastern Conference standings all year long. So you could have convinced yourself, or you could have been convinced that they could rush the timeline a little bit to some extent. Obviously, even then,
and you thought like, hey, oh, maybe Hayward comes back if they make the Eastern Conference Finals.
That Corrales
but, is okay, on that too.
Okay, let's shelve that possibility. Anybody
There's
out there?
Zero chance. If he does come back, it's stupid.
Even if he's healthy, the Celtics would be so dumb to throw him out there. We just saw him; he barely just started jogging. He's not going to be healthy enough to play NBA basketball for a while. Even if they do somehow advance far enough where he could physically step back on an NBA court, they would be so dumb to let it happen. So say goodbye to any Gordon Hayward hopes. That's gone. Goodbye. Sorry for those optimists out there, but that should be put to bed. But like I said, it's always been about next year. Like once Hayward comes back, and now once Kyrie gets back, and once Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown are both a year older, and Brad Stevens gets to throw out a starting five that could have 5 40% three-point shooters with Kyrie and Jalen and Tatum and Al Horford and Gordon Hayward. Like, that is going to be a monster lineup. There are going to be a lot of decisions to make this summer, starting with Marcus Smart's restricted free agency. Do you pay him? What do you do for bigs with Aaron Baines and Greg Monroe, both their contracts up? So there are going to be decisions on kind of not the fringes, because Marcus Smart is not a fringe player, but in the second half of their rotation, there are going to be decisions. But the Celtics are set up for a monster year as long as Kyrie comes back, and they say he's going to be structurally sound. Bacterial infection, it doesn't sound great, but removing screws, it's pretty normal. It's not, obviously, it's not an easy thing to recover from. It's going to take a while. It's going to take several months. It could wipe away most of Kyrie Irving's offseason. But it's a pretty normal thing. It's not like this is some crazy thing they didn't expect the whole year. At some point, they figured he was going to do that. Obviously, they had hopes that they could just take out the wires and he'd be good enough to play in the playoffs. I think that's why they did it. He wanted to play in the playoffs. They wanted him to play in the playoffs. But obviously, after a couple weeks, they decided that wasn't going to happen, and they decided to have the surgery right away so that he'll miss only months during the offseason.
But there's also no rush for him to come back. If his recovery takes 6 months, if he misses the first 20 games of next year,
Tito time.
It's really no big deal. Like, and I've been squatting on this take kind of as a, I would say half goof, half serious, but like, Kyrie's not the best defensive player out there, and the Celtics are actually a better defensive team when he's not playing. I think as an all-around player, Terry Rozier kind of gives you he's a better defensive player. He's obviously not going to create the same amount of offense, and obviously losing Kyrie Irving hurts the Celtics' depth tremendously, but this still is the Celtics, or they're still the best defense in the league. They think they still have a damn good chance of winning any first-round series that they play. But, yeah, it's all about 2019, and there's no rush for Kyrie to come back. It's just building towards them. But in the immediate, I don't I think the Celtics are still capable of winning a first-round series against no matter who the opponent is, against the Wizards, the Bucks, or the – I think the Bucks are a trash team. We just saw them play when Kadeem Allen was the starting point guard and they had no other guards on the roster, and it was a very close game that the Celtics could have ended up winning. You just add Terry Rozier and Shane Larkin, who just became a very, very important piece for this
playoff run. Shane has never been more important to an NBA roster.
Because you're going to need some backup, like, spark plug minutes from Shane Larkin. He just became very important. But I still think the Celtics, with the best defense, I think, in the East, they can play with anyone. It's just about you can't really have games from Mook, like, the past two nights where he's just completely cold, or games from Terry where he's just not making shots. The scoring is going to be mighty difficult come the playoffs, but the defense is going to keep them in a lot of games.
Yeah, and scoring will be a really, really big issue. Even as they've played really pretty damn well without Kyrie since his injury, they're 7-5 without him. They had a 6-game winning streak at one point, but they're scoring 101.8 points per 100 possessions, which would be close to the bottom of the league. It would be the bottom five of the league for the whole season. They are right now, since Kyrie's injury, first in 3-point shooting percentage, but 25th in offense. So they have been hot as hell. Terry Rozier
making all their shots and are still trash.
Terry Rozier has been hot as hell. Marcus Morris, until the last two games, had been hot as hell. Like, they have been shooting the crap out of the ball and still a totally mediocre offense. So where are the points going to come from in a playoff series? I do think it'll be really interesting to see how this impacts Jason Tatum. I do think Jason Tatum now will continue with the expanded role he's had lately. And all of a sudden, in a playoff series, Jason Tatum might be the number one shot creator for the Boston Celtics.
It's him or Terry, because...
Or Mook.
Well, yeah, Mook loves to shoot, but Al Horford, we all know, he's a facilitator. He's not the guy who's going to be looking for his own shot, so it's going to be heavily relying on Jason. Like, in the half court, I don't know what the go-to option is. It's really just dribble handoffs with Horford at the top of the key and just running...
Baines three-pointers.
Baines has more three-pointers this year than Ben Simmons. That's just a fact.
Two for his last two.
If Baines shoots a three-pointer or more than one, I'll be upset. But, the offense is going to definitely struggle. And it feels like on the road, especially in the playoffs, it's going to be difficult for them to get buckets. And role players generally just don't make as many shots. I wouldn't be surprised if they went seven, with no matter like who the opponent in the first-round series, and just kind of eke out a Game 7 win. It's just that second round that I just don't see them. I don't think they have any chance of beating the Cavs in a series in the second round.
Because you got to score to beat the Cavs. You're not going to.
The Cavs have an
totally
amazing offense right now, and I just don't think they can get bucket for bucket with the Cavs. The Sixers, them being young, never been there before. You throw in a crazy Marcus Smart comeback and just
2-3 zone against Ben Simmons and Fultz.
Yeah, just force those guys to shoot. Like, the 2-3 zone is actually perfect for. I didn't even think about that till right now, but like, Fultz can't shoot
It's perfect until J.J. Redick lights you the hell up.
Do box and one and put Smart on Redick.
Ooh.
Run some crazy stuff.
Don't tell it to Brad. He might use it.
Brad's so willing to try anything.
When I was a junior in high school, we played a triangle and two every single game. Like, didn't matter who we were playing. I've never seen it played before. I've never played it before.
Where were the two?
The two guys, they guarded two best perimeter players. So it was literally like a zone triangle, and then two guys were on the best perimeter players.
Yo, put Brad, Tito and DeMarcus, that'd be awesome.
Baines, Horford, and Tatum in the
just that'd be crazy.
In the zone, and then Brown and Tito on.
There's something to be said for a Brad Stevens team, like with a little bit of a chip on their shoulder. Everyone's counting them out. Like, there's some wild things that could happen. It feels like they're kind of destined to lose to the Cavs in five in the Eastern Conference Finals.
It would be disappointing the way this season has gone to get drubbed by someone in the playoffs. And it wouldn't mean anything. It would not mean a single thing about the long-term future. The Celtics are missing their two best players now. They will be missing their two best players for the rest of the playoffs. They are also missing Marcus Smart, who might be their best player off the bench, and Daniel Tice, who was supremely useful as a backup big.
Steven said today in Zach Lowe's piece about his Luke Walton All-Stars, so Tice was on there and Baines was on there.
I like that.
but said Tice was the best rimmer runner, and I completely agree. He's a dynamic guy, man. I feel like they've really missed Tice's energy off the bench.
Yeah.
But I like your approach because the results of this season do not matter at all. It's the process of like basically just getting Jaylen Brown more playoff experience, getting Jason Tatum more playoff experience, and we get playoff Tito and him starting in the moment. I just think it's going to be it's just like a solid building experience. And these guys, the Celtics, like the MO of the Celtics has been we're going to like try our asses off for 48 minutes and we're going to give ourselves a chance to win. And I think they're going to do that in the playoffs. It's whether or not the shots go in, but they're going to be in every single game they play. I just don't see them getting drubbed until maybe they play Cleveland just because they can't score with them. But I think they can – their games with Philly this year have all been pretty close, and I think they have a good enough defense, and I just don't think Philly has enough offensive firepower. And who knows what happens with Embiid's face. I don't know what his timetable is to return. But Philly, I think they have a chance. That's why this Friday the Cavs are playing the 76ers. All Celtics fans should – embrace the process as much as possible because they should be rooting for the 76ers to get that three seed.
It's going to be funny to see how the three teams tied for sixth right now do backflips to try to get into seventh place. Because if you're looking at your options and it could be Toronto, it could be Cleveland, it could be Philly, or it could be the totally banged up Celtics. Like, no disrespect to what the Celtics have done this season. They've had a great year. They still have the number one ranked defense. Their defense is still formidable. You want to play them out of those options. So we're going to see Washington, Miami, and Milwaukee doing whatever they can to get the seventh seed. All those teams are tied right now. It is going to be a wild, wild end to the season.
Yeah, but can you even, like, manipulate it that much? You don't
know what's going on. It's tough.
And, like, the Wizards play the Cavs tonight. Like, I can't, like, with all the shit that the Wizards talk about, like, how they're the best team in the East, I can't imagine them, like, throwing a game against the Cavs. But it's going to be interesting. Do you think, who out of the possible those three teams do you think has the best chance of beating the Celtics?
The Wizards. The Wizards are...
But they still don't have a bench. Like, they still run Jan Mahimi out there.
Do the Celtics have a bench now?
They have guile and gumption and a lot of will to win. And they have Brad Stevens versus Scottie Brooks.
Okay, yes.
I think it's the Heat. I think it's the Heat. The Heat are, like, they don't have as much top-tier talent, but the Heat go, like, nine deep and will play their asses off. And they can go small, and now the Celtics have basically zero, like, with Terry and Shane, and then if you count Jaylen Brown as a guard. The Heat can go small and, like, I think just with Spo is a great coach, and that team just always constantly playing their asses off, and they're going to match the Celtics' grit like every step of the way. I would be more scared of Miami than the Wizards. It's because I think the Wizards are kind of choke artists. Like, when have the Wizards done anything of note? They got beat by Kelly Olynyk in a game 7. Bradley Beal missed a wide open 12-foot jump shot to basically win the series. Like, I just don't believe in whatever the Wizards are putting down. They clearly hate each other. Like, John Wall he's already returned, but I don't know. It's just, I think that the Celtics can match up decently against the Wizards. At this point, I don't know who I would pick. I'd probably pick the Celtics because I'm a giant homer, but I would think I'd be more scared of just Miami and just kind of the intensity that they bring. And Revenge Kelly just feels like it's destined to happen.
And we talked about this, John and I, on the pod, post-game pod. Miami also can run three guards out at you with Dragic and Johnson and Josh Richardson, and that's kind of a similar look to what the Raptors use to run all over the Celtics. And
then you're forcing Tatum to guard someone just like way faster and way smaller.
Yep, and so it's going to be interesting matchups either way. I do think Washington and Miami especially would have pretty good chances of knocking off the Celtics. I don't know who would be favored in those series, but those teams are both pretty good, and the Celtics are very diminished in their current state. So, you're right. I think Milwaukee, it's weird to say you want Giannis in the first round.
But a pretty good job
Bucks,
on Tuesday.
I don't think the Bucks are that good.
I don't even know who the Bucks coach is. Like, I just don't know who that guy is. They fired Jason Kidd and somehow got worse. They don't play a lot of defense. Like, maybe if, like, Brogdon and who's their other guard who's hurt right now? They're running Jason Terry out there for 15 minutes a game. Like, and they're just not a competent team. It's basically just like Giannis and everything else. And yeah, maybe Giannis can go supernova, but I don't know. I just feel like there's a general belief in the Stevens system of just won their defense, and I guess they'll get enough shots. It's just like the shots are going to be Aaron Baines and a lot of Mook fadeaways. Sometimes those Mook fadeaways go in. If he's riding a hot streak, then whoever the opponent is doomed.
And when he and Tito are both on a hot streak, watch out. And, but that's what the Celtics are going to have to do, right? They're going
to
have...
Both those guys are going to need to score over 20 points a game.
Okay, so Brad Stevens probably has to cut down his rotation, right?
No Abdel Nader. Abdel Nader should not see the court.
Nader needs to be out.
Limited Shemmy. Like some Shemmy.
I think limited Shemmy is right. I think when you need to go small. But yeah, I think for the most part, should be Larkin, Morris, and Monroe off the bench. And use Shemmy when you need to. And then
that's about it. Like Xavier Silas not getting any burn. They just signed some guy. That's what
Jonathan Gibson.
I've never heard of Jonathan Gibson, but apparently
he was on the Celtics Summer League squad many moons ago.
He averaged 33.7 points in China this season, so he knows how to get buckets. Apparently they're just getting a bunch of shooters, because that's also Xavier Silas's reputation is this. That guy shoots three and plays no defense whatsoever. Yeah, no, they definitely should shorten the rotation if they have any chance. It's going to be playing like 8-9 guys. Shemmy, although the past like week or so, Shemmy's been showing a little bit on the offensive end. Like maybe he's not as afraid to take shots, but I don't think you can rely on him for any big moments. But you're right. It's going to be a lot of Shane Larkin, a lot of Moose, and a lot of Aaron Baines, and just hopefully that like they can cobble together enough points. But if Mook goes cold or if Terry goes cold, they're screwed.
Yep, that could be trouble.
It's not great, Bob.
Could be trouble. Tatum and Brown, man. Tatum and Brown are going to have every chance to do awesome things in the playoffs.
And that's pretty cool. I'm all for the sports optimism, but now there's like, given that there's zero expectations on the season, anything the Celtics get right now or accomplish is just like gravy. And it's just like, oh yeah, our young players won a playoff series on their own. That's pretty cool. Like if you're like very upset about the Kyrie Irving news, it's just like, man, you can't control that. Control what you can control. I'm all about sports optimism. Now it's going to be more fun watching the series now, because there's zero expectations. And anything good that happens is awesome. And anything bad that happens, you can just go, oh, we weren't supposed to win.
And Kyrie kind of put that in his Instagram post today. He said, the hardest thing to do sometimes is accept the uncontrollable things life throws at you. And then he went on to basically say this is just a brief pit stop for him on his quest to climb back to the top of Mount Everest.
It's a minor setback for
hashtag Standing Rock Sioux Tribe.
Yeah, that one surprised me. I didn't know.
Do you know what that means?
Well, I believe the Sioux Tribe is a Native American tribe in South Dakota. Standing Rock was, I believe, the pipeline. There was a whole protest over whether or not they could build a pipeline. But beyond that, the details get real fuzzy, so I don't know where... He came up with that one.
I'm Wikipediaing the Standing Rock Sioux Tribe right now.
But Kyrie's he's bought into the growth mindset. And clearly I have too, but you really can't control something like injuries like this. If Brad's going to have the team prepared to play, given the personnel, you, as a Celtics fan, should be in the same growth mindset. Can control what you can control. You shouldn't be upset about this Kyrie Irving news, because you have zero control over that. You should just be happy if the Celtics do well, and if they don't do well, you just put it in your past and keep moving forward. Because, you know, there's no reason to be getting mad online about sports. It's not worth it.
So,
what have you learned?
Forgive me if my history is bad. I'm not a historian. I'm ashamed that I don't know more than I do about Native American history.
I was a history minor, so I'll check you at any point.
So it looks like the Sioux that he was referring to refused to give up their land and won a...
Are those the fuckers that beat up General Custer?
Battle of the Little Bighorn.
Yeah, they fucked up Custer. Good big time.
Yeah.
That guy didn't know what was coming to him.
So they were dealt a shit hand and held firm and boom, kept... their land.
They got that knee surgery, they rehabbed, and they came back stronger than ever. And General Custer didn't know what coming to him. So, It's perfect. I love Kyrie Irving's amazing. I think he should be. Hopefully, him playing less leads to more Instagram posts and more just him just sharing his thoughts, because he's got a very interesting brain, and I'm excited to kind of see how he treats the offseason and the rehab, because now this means we got another, like, this is like the groundhog seeing its shadow. We got another 3 months of rehab videos on the Players Tribune getting us everyone amped for a return.
I don't think Kyrie will do any Players Tribune stuff.
Maybe not the Players Tribune. Maybe it'll be like his own third eye website of like mind control, but I think it will be.
This is true.
It will still, his rehab process will be a lot more interesting than Gordon Hayward's, because it will be some like traveling to Mecca or some like weird chakra things. Like, you know, I'm excited for this. I don't know why. This is sports optimism at its finest.
This is sports optimism at its finest. You are supremely excited about what Kyrie Irving's injury could mean for the Celtics.
Could mean more posting, man. I'm all for that.
He might become a top poster. All right. I think we've run out of things to discuss. We could discuss things forever, but I think we've run out of legitimate things to discuss
here.
That's fair. Let's wrap up this podcast. Anyone who doesn't routinely listen to us, you're stupid. Search for Locked On Celtics wherever you get your podcast. iTunes, Spotify, wherever else. We are the only Monday through Friday Celtics podcast, the greatest Celtics podcast ever created. And like the Celtics, we just keep trudging forward.
Always forward.
That's
roll, we control. Bye, Zen.
Bye, Zen.